It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Oh, my goodness.
Touchdown.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome back to Overtime. It's hour number 1.5 on an early and trimmed up edition of the program. We clear the air here in about 25 minutes, making the way for the Minnesota Twins to possibly, maybe, improbably stun the Chicago Cubs via sweep. They took game one, game two, game three today at 12:10 in the afternoon. Listen right here on the Minnesota Twins Radio Network. We'll dive right in here momentarily. The latest from Wimbledon, the good, the bad, the ugly, and some things you may have missed from the sports world. But first things first, let's dive right into your scorecard, where those Minnesota Twins got the job done again against the Cubbies, winning yesterday 4-2. Here's the final call, final out, courtesy of Chris Atterbury.
1-0 in the air, right field. Kersey chasing after it. He's got it, and this one's in the books. Twins will shake hands on a 4-2 win over the Chicago Cubs.
Chris Atterbury on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. David Festa with his third win of the season. All told, the team has won four of their last five. Don't bury the Twins just yet. 45-47 the record. Manager Rocco Baldelli postgame.
Yeah, it does feel good. We played a really good ball game. There's a lot that we could talk about. You know, as you know, what do I always talk? The pitching starts there. David Festa, he had a nice day out there. He threw 5 1/3. In four of those innings, he was like as crisp as can be. He looked great. I mean, and in the inning where he had to work a little bit and lost the strike zone a little bit, he found it and was able to keep us right in a good spot.
Minnesota Twins looking like they're going to end this first half of the season pre-All-Star break in a pretty good spot. 45-47 the record as of today. Six straight losses for the LA Dodgers has some people freaking out. Not me, still a great team and figuring it out right now, but they are up against it in Milwaukee, losing in extras yesterday 3-2. Brewers are 53-40, suddenly right on the heels of the aforementioned Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. Other finals, White Sox earn a win over Toronto 2-1. Surprising result there as the Blue Jays were holding a very long winning streak entering yesterday's game. Tampa Bay beats up on Detroit in Detroit 7-3. Boston all over the Rockies 10-2. Kansas City fends off Pittsburgh 4-3. And Cleveland wins in Houston 4-2. The final. Guardians are 43-48. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Twins are just one of three area teams in action. Cubs and Twins from Target Field, 12:10 the start time. White Sox home to the Guardians at 6:40. Cardinals home to the Nationals. That is a 6:45 start time. National Football League action will be here at the end of the month from Canton, Ohio. It's this year's iteration of the Hall of Fame game, Chargers and the Lions, 7 o'clock on NBC Thursday, July the 31st. Packers and Vikings open up preseason play on Saturday, August the 9th. Michelle Smallman not pulling any punches on Trevor Lawrence and the disappointment he's been so far in his career.
I think he might be the biggest disappointment in the NFL currently. Based on the expectations that we had for him entering the pros from everything he was in college, we haven't seen it yet consistently from him. And I know that there's been injuries. There's obviously, as we just mentioned, been churn at the head coaching position. The disaster that was Urban Meyer is not something that should be minimized. But you see all these other guys go into worse situations and thrive. Look at what C.J. Stroud did with the Houston Texans. Look at what Jaden Daniels did with the Washington Commanders. We're waiting to see that from Trevor Lawrence. And he had more expectations placed on his shoulders entering the league than any of those guys. Disappointment.
Disappointment, sure. We're still, verdict is still very much out on Trevor Lawrence. He has had his moments. He's been to the postseason. We'll wait and see exactly how the career unfolds, but that's not too far off base for Michelle Smallman, given the other top picks, the other expectations before Tank for Tua. It was Tank for Trevor, or right after, if you will. Certainly those two guys, Tua and Trevor, were both highly sought after guys, joining Justin Herbert and others early on in their collegiate careers. Caleb Williams also fitting that bill, way too early to pass judgment on him. But yeah, Trevor Lawrence has been a disappointment in Jacksonville, no doubt about it. Now, Chris Canty talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Could they make the playoffs? Could they compete for the division? I'm not so sure, but here's Canty defining what success is this year for Dallas and first-year head coach Schottenheimer down there in Big D.
For year one, Brian Schottenheimer, head coach, be in the playoffs. Now, that's a tall order when you consider the NFC. I mean, you got so many teams that are going to be vying for playoff spots. Let's just call it every team in the NFC North, three teams in the NFC East. Any one of three teams can win the NFC South. And you're talking about two dominant teams, what we expect to be dominant teams in the NFC West with the Rams and the San Francisco 49ers. So you realize there ain't going to be enough chairs when the music stops on the regular season. Somebody's going to be left out in the cold. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, you got to figure out a way not to be one of those teams, not in the playoffs.
And that expectation, probably a little unfair, but Jerry Jones, that clock keeps always ticking on his wrist as well on Coach Brian Schottenheimer as it did on Mike McCarthy. Right now in the NFC, here are the teams that I view as better or similar to the Dallas Cowboys. Tampa Bay, Atlanta could be inserted in the conversation based on their opportunity to make the postseason. I don't think Atlanta is as good as Dallas, but certainly could be in the mix. Philadelphia, duh. Also in that mix, San Francisco, better than Dallas. Minnesota, about even. We're waiting to see what J.J. McCarthy is. Seattle, similar skill set to Dallas, probably in that Atlanta conversation, probably not a playoff team, but I wouldn't rule it out. And then you get D.C., better than Dallas. Green Bay, better than Dallas. The Rams, better than Dallas. And, of course, the Detroit Lions, also fitting that bill. So Dallas postseason play as an expectation, that's okay. Is it a reality? I'm not so sure. I would not bet on it. That is for sure here in middle of July. Let's dive in and continue your scorecard. NASCAR race this weekend is at Sonoma, Sunday at 2:30 on TNT. PGA Tour opening action today from the Scottish Open through Sunday. And WNBA Finals, Golden State wins against the Indiana Fever in Indianapolis, 80-61. Fever are 9-10. The upstart and expansion franchise Valkyries are 10-9. And the Minnesota Lynx lost yesterday in Phoenix, 79-71. New record for Minnesota, 17-3. Today and tonight, 2 o'clock start from Los Angeles as the Sparks play host to the Lynx. And the Aces play face off on the road against the Mystics. That's a 6:30 start time on Prime Video. Now, tennis news to dive into. Women's semifinals going on right now. This morning had a big-time upset. Before we get there, though, Iga Swiatek out to a massive start against Belinda Bencic, 3-0, already up a break and more in the first set on ESPN TV. But this morning, history at Wimbledon and another tough loss for top seed and world number one Aryna Sabalenka. Reached the semifinals and ran into the buzzsaw in the form of 23-year-old American 13 seed Amanda Anisimova, winning set 1-6-4, dropping set 2 to Sabalenka 4-6, and coming back and slamming the door in the third and decisive final set 6-4 as well. Amanda Anisimova, New Jersey native, 23 years old, is dancing literally into the Wimbledon final. That'll be Saturday morning as Anisimova awaits the winner of Belinda Bencic and Iga Swiatek. So far, Swiatek leading 3-0 in set number one. Tomorrow, the men's semifinals are underway. Taylor Fritz, the highest rated American in the tournament, has found his way into the semis. He's got two seed at Carlos Alcaraz at 7:30 a.m. And to follow that match, top seed Jannik Sinner taking on six seed Novak Djokovic. A lot of big names remaining, including an American in the semifinals from Wimbledon. You can catch the men's semis tomorrow, women's final Saturday, men's final on Sunday from across the pond. Let's dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Here is the MVFC football preview. Nuts and bolts from FCS Football Central on SportsIllustrated.com. Here's what they have to say. There's no question which conference is the premier conference in all of FCS college football ahead of next season. Since 2011, the MVFC has won 12 of the last 14 national titles, including four consecutive since 2021. Further highlighting the conference's dominance, the MVFC boasts a 155-92 record in the NCAA playoffs, along with 16 appearances in the title game. The big questions out there: will South Dakota be able to capitalize on back-to-back playoff appearances under a new head coach? And what should the expectations be at SDSU after the unexpected departure of head coach Jimmy Rogers? They have the predicted order of finish. And avert your eyes, avert your ears if you're a Yote fan or a Jackrabbit fan, because they have taken the North Dakota State Bison up there in Fargo. The Fluffy Cows, if you will, are projected to finish first, according to FCS Football Central and according to Matt Zimmer. Matt Zimmer of SiouxFallsLive.com had his poll out as well and said North Dakota State 1. He had USD 2, SDSU 3. FCS Football Central reversing that. Bunnies on top of the Yotes, 2-3. So Bison, South Dakota State, South Dakota, 1-2-3. Southern Illinois, team in the mix at number 4, according to FCS Football Central. We'll get that story out there later on today at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Kansas State and Iowa State will open up the season in Dublin on August 23rd. And if the Big 12 coaches are correct, those two teams will also play for the Big 12 title on December 6th in Arlington. In a poll conducted by On3 of the 16 league coaches, Kansas State and Iowa State received the most votes to reach the title game this year. Since the Big 12 discontinued their preseason media poll, On3 asked each coach to predict who would play in the league's title game. Coaches were granted anonymity and could not vote for their own team. K-State led the way with 8 votes, followed by Iowa State with 7. How about a snub here? I like K-State. I like Iowa State, but what about Arizona State? Team with two of the top 10 players in the conference on the offensive side of the football. I'm not going to bet against Coach Kenny Dillingham. Give me Arizona State in the title game. Don't know who I'm going to kick out, but surprising there. K-State, Iowa State in that title game. Other teams highly thought of. TCU had 3 votes, Baylor with 2, Texas Tech 5, Utah with 1 vote. Are the teams also receiving votes to get to the title game? That courtesy of On3.com. And lastly, some baseball chatter here. Twins all-star Byron Buxton exited yesterday's win with a left hand bruise after being hit by a pitch from Chicago Cubs starter Cade Horton. Buxton led off the bottom of the first when he was hit, although the play was initially ruled a foul ball. Minnesota challenged the call and it was overturned after video review showed a ball hitting a pad on top of Buxton's hand. Injuries have been an issue for Buxton throughout his career. Did have some imaging and I believe they indicated x-rays negative, which is good, but Byron Buxton did get dinged up and day-to-day after a bruised hand via hit by pitch. And lastly here, there was some question whether or not Joe Ryan would get a bid eventually to the All-Star game, and that became a reality yesterday. That's right, Joe Ryan has been named a replacement into the All-Star game coming up soon. The 29-year-old, whose name has surfaced recently in plenty of trade talk, was one of the biggest snubs when the initial All-Star game rosters were announced. The righty is 8-4, career best 2.76 ERA across 18 starts, and he struck out 116 batters against just 21 walks over 104 innings of work so far this season. Joe Ryan is an All-Star joining the great Byron Buxton. Should be a fun All-Star break around the corner for the Minnesota Twins. We are lining up some guests for next week, including the Twins geek, John Bonas. He will join us on the Tuesday edition of Overtime next week. We take the break. Latest from Wimbledon and the good, the bad, and the ugly on the way next as we say so long to an early and shortened edition of Overtime next right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Well, tonight is the night, Sanford Sports Night from the Sanford Pentagon. Don't miss out on your chance to hear from one of college football's top coaches and big boy college football the favorite coach of South Dakota, Kalen DeBoer, back in town as of yesterday. South Dakota native and head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide returns home to discuss the landscape of youth athletics and more. Sanford Sports Night is tonight at the Sanford Pentagon. If you haven't been getting your tickets, haven't been listening to the show, still time to grab yours for tonight's Sanford Sports Night. General admission tickets are only $5. You can grab yours right now at sanfordsports.com. Again, Sanford Sports Night with special guest Kalen DeBoer. $5 tickets right now. sanfordsports.com. Well, an update from Wimbledon first. Novak Djokovic reached the Wimbledon semis for a men's record 14th time, breaking a tie with the great Roger Federer, quickly recovering from a nasty and awkward, those are two quotes, fall in the last game to beat Flavio Caboli 6-7, 6-2, 7-5, 6-4 on Wednesday and set up a showdown against world number one and top seed Jannik Sinner. 22nd seed Caboli was 3 years old when the 38-year-old Djokovic, whom Caboli had called his idol, made his main draw debut at Wimbledon 20 years ago. 23-year-old Italian had never reached the second week of a major before this tournament, and Djokovic is dancing beyond Caboli into another semifinal he'll match up against with Jannik Sinner, and the other matchup just as juicy. You got, in for my money, the best player, most dominant, most exciting, most tactful player right now, Carlos Alcaraz, number two seed, taking on fifth-seeded and American Taylor Fritz. It is not often, by the way, that we have American men and women in the semis and in the finals, and this is a special edition of Wimbledon this year, and it continues right now on ESPN-TV. Iga Swiatek, traditionally a clay court, hard court dominant player, having a lot of success on grass this year, up 4-1 in set one over Belinda Bencic. Now, let's dive into the good, the bad, and the ugly before we send you packing on a Thursday edition of Overtime.
Who has been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and now setting a bad example. Well, Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Good news for the Detroit Lions, bad and ugly news for everyone else, including left and right tackles in the NFC North. Lions pass rusher Aiden Hutchinson said back in May that he was fully cleared to return from the broken leg that abruptly ended his 2024 season after five games, and that announcement marked the end of a long rehab process. Now, during a recent appearance on the With the First Pick podcast, Hutchinson was asked if going through rehab left him feeling prepared for the coming season as he did going into his first 3 years with Detroit. Pro Football Talk with the article. Here's the quote. I'm exactly where I need to be. Every year I've been able to improve my own physical attributes along with the mental ones. So I feel like every year I take a step despite having that rehab this offseason. Feel like I'm in the perfect spot and exactly where I need to be going into year four. Scary dude, elite talent, Aiden Hutchinson working back from a broken leg. May have been able to play if the Lions continued their season deeper into the playoffs. They did not, but Aiden Hutchinson should be back pretty darn full strength coming up pretty soon for those Detroit Lions. A dynamic new quarterback, a new offensive system, and two projected first-round picks up front have Utah coach Kyle Whittingham feeling enthusiastic about his team's chances of bouncing back from a disastrous debut season in the Big 12. Utah was voted number one in the Big 12 preseason poll last year, but finished 5-7, program's first losing season since 2013. Whittingham, one of the older, longest-tenured coaches in all of college football, did consider retiring and stepping away, but saying, final analysis, I couldn't step away on that note. Kyle Whittingham back for another year guiding the Utah Utes. Bad news to pass along, Frank Layden, the sharp-witted former coach who led the Utah Jazz to the playoffs for the first time in franchise history, passed away at the age of 93. Known for his humor and sideline antics, Layden coached the Jazz from 81 to 89 and had 277 wins. That is the third most in franchise history. And lastly, the ugly news to dive into, tough news, former Olympic wrestler and MMA star Ben Askren, who has been hospitalized in Wisconsin after a severe case of pneumonia, said in a post on social media yesterday that he had undergone a double lung transplant and is in recovery. Askren said during the Instagram video that he recalls very little of what happened over a month-long stretch from late May through the first 2 days of July. His wife Amy said in a series of social media posts that Askren was put on a ventilator in June and placed on the donor list for a lung transplant on June 24th. The good news, got the lung transplant and in recovery. Askren has lost about 50 pounds in a 45-day stretch. And the 40-year-old born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, has lived primarily in Wisconsin, working back to recovery. And all the best to Ben Askren in his fight back and his family through that trying time right now. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That is our program and the week of our show. We are off tomorrow, which means have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday when the next edition of Overtime rolls back around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. One more plug. Grab your tickets now for tonight's event, Sanford Sports Night with Kalen DeBoer. $5 tickets, sanfordsports.com. We'll talk to you Monday.